Think on your feet for our Fast and Curious 5K, a one-of-a-kind race hosted by WBEZ and the Chicago Sun-Times on Saturday, July 27th at Humboldt Park. More info and early bird registration at wbez.org/events.
Illinois hospitals are failing survivors of sexual assault. That's according to a new investigation by American Public Media. I'm Sasha Ann Simons, and this is Reset. Illinois set a groundbreaking law in 1976 that guarantees care to sexual assault victims, but an investigation finds hospitals have skirted that responsibility for decades. Lawmakers attempted to strengthen that law back in 2018 by requiring hospitals across the state to train emergency room workers on how to be rape crisis advocates and to provide forensic services, also known as a rape kit, within 90 minutes of a victim's arrival. But today, records show many hospitals in the Chicago area and across Illinois delayed treatment, failed to notify child or adult protective services, and in some cases, straight up refused to offer a sexual assault kit to sexual assault victims seeking care. All without any penalties on the records for those violations. I sat down with Kate Martin, senior data reporter for American Public Media and author of this piece. She starts with what lawmakers envisioned when they tried to strengthen the state's sexual assault survivors law. Here's Kate.
If you arrive at a hospital, you either get treated by a nurse or a doctor, or that hospital is authorized to transfer you to a hospital that will. And once you're at that treatment hospital, you're supposed to get access to a rape crisis counselor who can help you navigate this unfamiliar situation. You're supposed to be offered a forensic kit, which a lot of people call a rape kit. You're supposed to be provided with STI prevention, pregnancy prevention. There's a whole long list of things that you're entitled to as a sexual assault victim that hospitals are supposed to provide.
Mm-hmm. And lawmakers tried to strengthen the state's sexual assault survivors law back in 2018, right? What were the changes that they made?
So some of the changes included requiring a rape crisis counselor to be by your side. Mm-hmm. I think that goes along with some of the federal law, too. They also require hospitals to respond to a sexual assault survivor who arrives in their emergency room within 90 minutes. They can't just make them wait around for hours and hours, which is what happens in most of the rest of the country. There's a few other changes, too, as well.
Would you say the law was successful?
Well, I mean, in some ways it was, because there are a lot more sexual assault nurse examiners now, right? In 2019, there were about 200 of them. And then last year, there were almost 500. So that's more than doubled in that amount of time. So at least there were more sexual assault nurse examiners.
Hospitals also took advantage of a loophole in state law to avoid providing care to some patients. How is that possible, Kate? And how often would you say hospitals have taken that route?
Well, in terms of frequency, since the loophole was enacted in 2007, basically what it says is if you're a hospital and you want to transfer patients, you can transfer patients. Mm-hmm. You can transfer them to a different hospital. The change in 2018 meant that hospitals have to agree to receive those patients as well. Since 2007, the number of hospitals transferring patients has more than tripled. There's about 76 of them as of 2013.
To that end, what does this mean then for the hospitals that do try to provide that care to sexual assault victims? Because it sounds like they're going to be taking on an unfair load.
Well, I mean, if you have to agree to accept the patients, you could just tell a hospital that wants to transfer the patients, we don't want to take your patients,
right?
Which is what's happening in some areas of the state.
You were looking through some publicly available inspection reports from 2018 through 2023 from the State Department of Public Health. Talk about the trends that you saw of what is actually happening to these victims. Like, what stands out to you, Kate?
Well, I want to be clear that these inspection reports, they happen in a number of ways. The State Department of Public Health will investigate hospitals every 3 years. They inspect them every 3 years or in response to a complaint of the sexual assault survivors law, right? So activists say or advocates say that this is a vast undercount of the bad things that are actually happening. But when I looked at all of these reports in total, I found that there are hospitals that are failing to offer sexual assault kits. There were four of them in that time period. Nine failed to contact a rape crisis center advocate, which is really key for somebody who's in an unfamiliar situation and they don't know their rights. Mm-hmm. Three hospitals delayed treatment, which can mean like they left you in the waiting room for 5 hours or something like that. 9 hospitals failed to take photographs of injuries, which is required by the law. And that's really necessary if you're going to prosecute your assaulter.
Right.
And one hospital actually failed to do that for like a number of years for like 60 patients. So it's not just like 9 patients, 9 hospitals failed to do this. And then there's also failures to provide follow-up care instructions. And they also billed victims too, which is not supposed to happen. And it has been illegal in the state for 48 years.
So let's get into some specific stories here, Kate. You write about a 4-year-old girl who was taken to Jacksonville, Illinois, to a hospital there by her mom and grandma. Mm-hmm. What's her story? What happened?
Her mom and her father were separating at the time. And when she came back from her father's house, the babysitter noticed there was some behavior that concerned her. And she contacted the mom after talking to the girl and told her that she had said that her father was touching her. And so a few days later, it took a while because the mom was working a lot at a double shifts and everything, but they went to the hospital with her grandmother. And as the doctor was looking at her, she said, "My daddy touches me there." And instead of offering, and this was a treatment hospital at the time, instead of offering a rape kit or doing any of the stuff that they were supposed to do, the doctor actually just sent them home. And a couple days later, they ended up going to Springfield after a recommendation from their pediatrician. Springfield Hospital was great. They treated the girl just fine. They did all the things they were supposed to do. But part of the problem is the delay in getting that treatment, because when the DNA results came back from the state crime lab, they said there was no male DNA.
Oh, so how did the hospital staff react when investigators followed up on that complaint?
Oh, the doctor actually said that the reason he didn't provide a kit like they were supposed to is he didn't have time to spend 2 hours with one patient.
Wow. And these are just the violations that were reported. Is there any way to know what the real numbers are?
I don't think so. I mean, there's really not, unless we have more people from the state investigating these things. Mm-hmm. I mean, my understanding is the state Department of Public Health, they inspect like 17 different types of medical facilities. If you can think about all the different ways that you would want medical facilities inspected, and the CICIDA violations, which is what these are just one of those things that they're looking at. So they don't really have the capacity, from what I've been told by them, to do this without more funding. And we're not going to know more. Or more people report. Maybe they'll read this and report more of the violations. Who knows?
Right. You also write about another sexual assault survivor who arrived at a hospital in Southern Illinois and also didn't receive the appropriate care. What's Cheryl Thompson's story?
Right. She was celebrating New Year's Eve at a bar with somebody she considered a friend. And after a drink at the bar, she blacked out and didn't remember a thing until she woke up in her driveway on her back, and she found pebbles and dried leaves and dirt inside her pants. And in the process of trying to get answers to what happened to her, she went to Union County Hospital in Anna right afterward. And the doctor, though, was incredibly dismissive of her. What she wrote in a statement to police is that he told her no one would be able to force a woman of her size to unwillingly have sex, and that nobody would put drugs in her drink in Union County. He also repeatedly asked her what she wanted him to do. And in her complaint to the medical board, she told me that she's told him, "I want you to look at me or test me or whatever." And he said, "We don't do rape kits here. No one in our area does them. And you'll have to go to Mount Vernon, which is an 80-minute drive away."
So what I'm hearing is this: hospitals aren't doing their due diligence and providing the care that they should under state law. There's a long record of this. So the big question is, I mean, why are these hospitals not facing any penalties?
Well, there's a couple of reasons. For one, if it's a billing and collections issue, only the attorney general can fine based on that. My report shows that even though they could have fined hospitals and physician groups $1.4 million, they actually haven't fined anybody ever. And the attorney general's office said they prefer a collaborative approach that, you know, leans more on education than punishment to get hospitals to comply with the law. The other part that's explicitly allowed to fine is the Department of Public Health related to these sort of very boring reports. Like, they write down what they're supposed to do for a sexual assault survivor. Mm-hmm. And if they don't do those reports correctly, then the state tells them to do over again. And if they keep doing it wrong, they could ostensibly fine them, but they never have. But there is one section of the law that's been there for 48 years, and it actually says that any hospital violating any provision of the law is guilty of a petty offense for each violation, and any fine collected related to that petty offense is supposed to go to the general fund of the city or municipality or whatever. And I made like a couple dozen calls on this, and no city or county has ever enforced this, and many of them didn't even know about it.
I mean, who is responsible for enforcing that?
Nobody, as far as I can tell.
Wow. You also
maybe the state's attorneys, but they don't think they are. So
goodness. You reached out to a number of hospitals across the Chicago area and across the state about the violations. Anything else you can share about what they had to say to you?
I will say, like with Jacksonville, a month after that girl showed up, they decided to become a treatment hospital. They decided to stop caring for sexual assault victims and transfer them to Springfield instead. I will say Advocate South Suburban, they also had a violation involving a woman where they threw away her rape kit and all of her clothes. But instead of giving up, they decided to spend more money on sane nurses and training. So, I mean, it's not like you always have to give up and stop treating sexual assault patients.
We'll leave it there. Kate Martin's a senior data reporter with American Public Media. You can find her investigation at apmreports.org. Thank you so much for talking with us, Kate.
Thanks so much for having me.
This episode of the Reset Podcast was produced and mixed by Brenda Ruiz, and it was edited by Linnea Dominic. If you like this conversation, please consider leaving us a rating and subscribing. It helps listeners like you find our show. I'm Sasha Ann Simons. Thanks for listening. You can catch us on the show today at noon on 91.5 FM, WBEZ.
Have you ever wondered why anyone drinks Malort? Or if there are actually lobsters in the Chicago River? Then listen to the Curious City podcast, where we answer all your questions about Chicago and the region. WBEZ's Curious City is part of the NPR network and available wherever you find your podcasts.